Hi guys, happy Monday. Welcome back to the Wellness Wake Up. As always, we are so grateful that you are here. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to a really, really great conversation. Such an important one about mental health today. And as always, first, we're going to kick things off with our magic moments. So do you want to jump in, Marissa?
Yes. So I was actually thinking about this morning before we sat down to record. And where magic moment comes from is actually, it was a concept shared with me by my therapist. And it's meant to be like this little moment throughout the day that like makes you realize like things are actually good and there's good in the world. And, you know, over the course of time, it's so easy to share our bigger moments. And I think we do that a lot. And if I look back at my last week, I did have a lot of bigger magic moments. Like I met my best friend's baby. I went to the Taylor Swift concert, which I can save for an entire podcast to talk about. But I'm choosing a smaller magic moment this week. I had a flight Thursday night because I went to the Taylor Swift concert in Chicago, home with my family. And it was one of those like very annoying travel days. I had like seen 10 clients before, like fit them all in before I left for the airport. Took me like an hour and 45 minutes to get to Newark because I had to leave during rush hour. I forgot my meal that I had packed for the airport, so I had to buy something there. It was just like an annoying day. And then I landed in O'Hare and there were no Ubers or Lyfts available. I had to wait in the taxi line. I was just in a bad mood when I was finally on my way to my sister's home. And I was like texting Elliot, really bitching about how everything sucks, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I look out the window and it was like nighttime when I landed and there were fireworks going on. Oh. And it was one of those like little bits of like, okay, stop complaining. Like everything's actually okay. So that was my little magic moment. It was like a reminder from the universe that things are just fine.
Yeah. And sometimes just a reminder to like look up and out too, instead of down at our screens where we're like furiously typing away, you know, frustratedly. To really just like, actually good advice from my chiropractor too. And my good friend says always look up and out, like out while you're on your computer for the day or whatever you're doing. Cause so often we're also just like that hunched over feeling adds to that frustration.
100%. It was such a great like little reminder. And I had another one even happen when I was on my flight back. I was again, I don't know. I hate traveling these days. I was annoyed on the plane. And I look over at the man sitting next to me and I thought it was the most adorable thing, but he spent the entire flight looking at photos of his wife. Like, or that's what I assume it was, or his like partner or something. He like had this album that he kept going through. And I was like, what an adorable.
Like actual printed out photos.
No. Like on his phone. He was going through and like zooming in on her the whole time. And it was like, wow. This is so adorable. So it was again, another little reminder to look up and look out. So I love that.
That is the sweetest. So actually you prompted one that was like the real magic moment of our whole week. My whole week. So I just got to Portugal this week as we're recording this and it's been so great. But in getting here, we also had a travel like insanity that our connecting flight, our first flight was really, really delayed and we only had an hour in between the two. And so when we landed when the next flight was taking off, we thought, but we just decided to sprint through the airport and make it. It was in a different terminal. It was crazy. We get there and they make this announcement that they're actually holding the flight because there were a lot of people trying to connect to it. And so we ended up actually making the flight. Otherwise, we would have had a night and a full day in DC. And we were just like, oh, please don't make us do that after we had just moved out of our house. And it just had been like total chaos. And we were so excited to get to Europe and just settle in and had a great Airbnb waiting for us here. But it was one of those moments where United, shout out to United in a positive way for maybe the first time ever, Hooper held the flight. And so we ended up making it. Our luggage all made it. So it was just like relief after relief when we landed here and just didn't have to spend a full day. Not that there's anything wrong with DC, but like we were not really feeling a day in DC over Lisbon. So yeah, that was amazing. And then a micro other one was just I went to the grocery store this morning here. And when I tell you like the exhale that came out of my body, when I saw like the amazing produce, it just felt like actually being somewhere that I'm like, okay, we can live well here. So that was really, really good too. But let's hop in because we have a lot to talk about when it comes to mental health and your overall wellness and health. So let's do it.
Yes. So today we are really going to talk about the brain-gut connection and explain to you guys how food can actually affect your mood. So by now it's pretty well understood that we know food affects your physical health, right? We know if you eat more sugar, you might be at a higher risk for diabetes. If you eat more processed animal foods, you might be at a higher risk for heart disease. However, researchers are now just starting to look at how the foods we eat can actually affect more than just our physical health, but also our mental well-being. So this is where this whole world of nutritional psychiatry comes out. And nutritional psychiatry is an emerging field in the world of psychology, where scientists are actually beginning to understand the way we actually eat can actually directly affect our mental health. What happened was is that researchers started to notice that there were actually connections to populations' nutrient intake and their mental health status. So for instance, they noticed that in populations that tended to eat less zinc, they tended to have more depression, and they started to notice some more of these connections. And this triggered more research around this phenomenon to see how nutrition can actually connect with our mental health. Today, there's research that even suggests that nutritional treatment may actually help prevent, treat, or improve a lot of mental health disorders such as depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, anxiety, ADHD, autism, addiction, and so much more. When I actually worked at Mount Sinai as an inpatient dietitian, I worked with patients for their mental health. So people who are actually admitted in the hospital for mental health stuff going on or even addiction. And I think it's really cool to recognize that food can be a key part of this treatment. One way you can think about it is think about your brain as a car, right? And like a car, we need to put the right kind of fuel into it, right? The right kind of gas in order for it to function properly. So your brain is just like that car. It works best on the right kind of fuel.
Yeah. And we're going to tell you all about what that right kind of fuel is today. I always think if we could have gone back, or if nutritional psychiatry really existed now, that's like probably what you and I may have gone into instead of nutrition. 100%. It's so interesting, and it just makes so much sense. So let's also look at the gut-brain connection, because it's really, really important. And we want to understand first how the brain and gut communicate. So think about the last time you were nervous. Did your stomach drop? Or maybe you felt some butterflies last time you were really excited. Maybe if you were going to the Taylor Swift concert, perhaps. But these are examples.
So many butterflies.
Yeah, your brain and gut communicating with each other. And so this happens via something called the brain-gut connection. And our nervous system is made up of the central and peripheral nervous systems. The brain is part of that central nervous system, and our GI tract is home to a bunch of neurons called the enteric nervous system, which, wow, we are really diving deep into the nervous system today. But it's really important to understand all of this, because there's also a part of this called the vagus nerve, which is how your gut and your brain really communicate. And so it's really helpful, I think, to just keep in mind of like, it's all connected. Nothing is this individual part. You know, you'll go to a GI doctor, which is great and important sometimes, or you'll go to a neurologist. But in the more integrative, you know, in functional medicine space, we're looking at how all of this stuff connects and all of it communicates all the time.
Totally. So the vagus nerve is just what's bringing your gut and brain together, and it's sending signals back and forth. So we understand that they're communicating, but the question is really, what is this communication doing? So the reason the food you eat affects your mood is because the food actually has the ability to affect the structure and function of our brain, which in turn can dictate our moods. So certain diets, and by diets here, we're talking about like patterns of food, which we'll get into in a little bit, along with exercise, can actually promote brain plasticity, which is the ability of the brain to change over time and form new connections. And it actually can promote cognitive function, while other diets can actually promote inflammation in the brain and can create issues with mental functioning.
Mm-hmm. So food you eat also speaks to your second brain, which is your gut. And so it has the ability to alter the structure and function of the brain in your head, but also impacts the gut brain, which is really important and full of, that's your microbiome, your overall gut health. And so if you're on Instagram or TikTok, you've very likely heard the term gut health or gut talk. And unlike some random internet trends, gut health is a real thing. It's really, really important. And we can learn so much about a person, as Marissa and I do these GI maps, gut, you know, stool tests. We call them shit kits or poop kids. We can learn so much about what's going on with someone from what shows up in their microbiome. So along with the neurons we just mentioned, our gut is filled with different organisms, which make up the gut microbiome. And there are good microbes and bad microbes in here. There's stuff we want to have a whole lot more of. There's stuff that we don't want to see on something like a GI map. And the balance of those microbes can affect all sorts of things with your health, including your mental health. They can also end up impacting your immunity, your sugar cravings. And so this balance of gut bacteria can affect digestion. It also affects absorption. So it's not only about you eating the healthy foods. It's really also about how your body's breaking them down and absorbing them, and ultimately ends up impacting our overall wellness in our body or the inflammation in our body. And so it really all makes sense that your gut is involved in your feelings, because it has those neurons all along the entire pathway from top to bottom. When you think about our entire gut, is they say if it was like all laid out, the microbiome, it's like the size of a football field. It's amazing. It's really, really wild. And then more interestingly, when it comes to mental health, 95% of our serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter associated with mood, sleep, appetite, and so much more, is produced in our gut. So 95% of our serotonin is produced in our gut. It's a huge stat. It's one that we see all over social media, luckily. And so it is one to really keep in mind of, like, if you're suffering with anxiety, depression, chronic stress, it's going to end up impacting that serotonin level. And so the neurons and microbes are going to work together to protect your gut from inflammation and therefore help you keep up your mental health as well.
Totally. So let's get into what food helps and what food might not help so much. Before we get into what actually helps, I think it's important to zoom back and look at what the standard American diet is. And there is, you know, no, or I guess there is a pun intended that the acronym here is SAD. So Standard American Diet, SAD. So we looked up some research before we started on this to see, like, where most of our calories come from in the US. And I thought this was fascinating. 63% of Americans' calories come from refined and packaged foods. So think things like soft drinks, packaged snacks, potato chips, desserts, things like that. So over half of our calories are coming from these refined foods. 25% of our calories come from animal-based foods. And if you have questions on this, listen to our Should I Eat Meat podcast. 12% of our calories come from plant-based foods, which, okay, we're getting somewhere here. But if you break that down even further, 6% of those plant-based calories actually come from French fries, which I think is hilarious, which means only 6% of Americans' calories are coming from health-promoting fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, and seeds. That is wild to think about. Mm-hmm. And it's no secret that mental illness is on the rise in the US. You know, anxiety and depression rates are at an all-time high, especially over the past 3 years with the COVID pandemic. And several studies show an association between dietary intake and inflammatory potential and ultimately the risk of depression. So what I take away from this is that as our diets have become more and more processed, our mental health has suffered more and more, which is no coincidence.
Absolutely. Really interesting. So let's jump into some of what not to eat. We're going to definitely get to what to eat, but there are something that we call bad mood foods. And while we're not in the habit of labeling foods as good or bad, we do really think about, like, the foods you eat are going to make you feel a certain way. And so that is really, really important. And from a mindful eating perspective, we really like to think about how foods are going to make you feel later on. And it's not always immediate, right? Sometimes it's, oh, I ate or drank that last night. For example, friends here last night that we were meeting for the first time, I wanted to go out for Chinese food. And it was, like, not something that I would normally crave or go out and get, but also it's a time to be really social, right? And woke up this morning feeling like puffy, like total brain fog, all of that. And it's not that that's a bad thing inherently. It was really fun. It was great to meet new people, but, like, just keeping in mind of, like, that's a rarity, and how I'm going to feel after really, really makes a difference in that decision making. So here are some of the bad mood foods. These are what cause inflammation. And so you can really think of bad mood foods synonymous to inflammatory foods. And, like, the opposite of this are going to be, like, fun, happy foods that we'll get into as well. Think a lot of us are going to think about, like, sugar, white carbs. Sugar is really problematic to our mood because it promotes the growth of bad bacteria in our gut, which can further contribute to mental health issues. Similarly, lots of white or fast carbs are another one to watch out for. These products, like white bread, sugary cereals, you want to really look at, like, the ingredients here of even food products you might assume are healthy or that are marketed as healthy to see, you know, are there several different types of sugar in there? Is sugar the first ingredient? Is there over 10 grams of sugar on an ingredient label? Oftentimes they are devoid of nutrients and tend to have the fiber stripped away, which is going to slow down the absorption. And so similarly to sugar, it basically gets digested down to basic sugar in our bodies. And so it's going to really negatively affect our gut bacteria. And additionally, lots of these products have excessive pesticides sprayed on them, which can have other health consequences. So choose organic when you can. It's always a really, really helpful idea. These also cause our blood sugar to really rise and drop really quickly. So this is going to leave us perpetually hangry. And so that can really negatively affect your mood as well. Really some things to keep in mind, like blood sugar can be really, really tied into your mental health.
Totally. And I think it's so important that a lot of these quote unquote, maybe bad mood foods, as we're labeling them today, are things that people normally think of as fun, happy foods. Mm-hmm. You associate, like, ice cream or pizza with celebration and fun. And, well, we're not here to say never eat these things, but if they're the only things you're eating, they actually can not be so fun down the line. And I think that's a really important thing to distinct or an important distinction to make.
Yeah. And like quantity matters big time too, right? Like as a one-off, totally fine. Not a big deal. Don't even think twice about this. Is not meant to cause you guilt, but it is meant to really help you think and like support that of like supporting your mental health by every bite you're taking. And so, yeah, when it comes to carbs, we're really looking for slow to digest carbs. So we're looking for whole grains, whole wheat breads, potatoes, sweet potatoes, quinoa that are going to be full of fiber and provide us with a steady source of energy slowly. And meaning we're going to feel full for longer. So that'll help us like skip those blood sugar highs and lows. We also want to avoid processed foods in general, which are going to be really inflammatory. These are the things with laundry list of ingredients that you're going to find in most grocery stores, chips, you know, all sorts of bars, candies, especially things with food dyes. They are going to have excessive amounts of cheap oils, artificial colors, artificial dyes, excess sodium, processed sodium, all will cause and promote inflammation. Those artificial colors are probably my biggest pet peeve in the entire food supply. Mm-hmm. When you see bright colored things, even M&Ms, for example, they're not only highly processed, but they have tons of additives in it. And these are not natural to our bodies. Our bodies don't know how to digest or absorb them. And so that contributes to a pro-inflammatory state in the body. And last, but certainly not least, I'm going to put alcohol on this list, which I'm sure is not news to you, but alcohol is a toxin, even if it's our culture's favorite toxin. You probably have heard of anxiety. By now, where you feel a hangover with like tremendous anxiety and sort of champagne remorse the next day, alcohol really is a depressant and can, even though it might feel good in the moment and feel like it really removes a level of stress, when you drink too much or too many days in a row, which does happen to you in your mid-30s, you will feel very hungover, even if you only have one glass of wine multiple days in a row. It's really, really wild. So just trying to think about those of like, where do those come into your day? Like, yeah, having a little night out, not a bad thing inherently at all, but just starting to notice, how does it affect your mood? Do you have like sort of random, seemingly random anxiety after you eat or drink something like this? A place I see this a lot actually is with gluten too. If someone has like random anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder, and we really can't get to the bottom of it, we'll do either a wheat zoomer, a GI map, something that looks at their anti-gliadin IgA, which is a fancy way of saying what their gluten sensitivity is like. And oftentimes what we'll find is like they might do really well with a couple of weeks, couple of months off of gluten entirely. And often we do see it can be a missing link because of potentially the pesticides.
Totally. I actually had a client who was having crazy anxiety and was advocating for herself because her doctors were kind of like, oh, you're fine, you're fine. And she begged for a celiac test and she ended up having celiac disease. And wow. Anxiety was the reason that they found it. And another note just on the artificial stuff that Carolyn was talking about, artificial sweeteners are a huge one that we see in processed mm-hmm. foods. And there's so much research on things like sucralose, which is Splenda, and that sucralose can actually promote the growth of bad gut bacteria. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, we think excess sugar can promote, you know, it feeds those bad microbes, but actually these artificial sweeteners are also causing dysbiosis issues. So again, you know, the goal is not that we never eat these things, but it's more so that we understand, you know, the balance on our plate and what's going on. And it's not a moral thing here, right? You're not a good person if you eat salmon and a bad person if you eat pizza, but more so, can you zoom out and think about, okay, how does like 5 days in a row of XYZ make me feel, and use that as information? But more importantly, we always want to focus on, what do we want to eat more of? It is such a beautiful thing for our brains to think more versus less, you know, think, what do I actually want to do versus what do I want to avoid? When we focus on the things we want to avoid, it could be like very painful and difficult to make change versus if we're like, okay, I'm going to add in one new thing, that's more empowering. So while certain dietary triggers may worsen our mental health, there are plenty of foods that can help. Studies have really compared traditional diets, if you think about like a Mediterranean style diet, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard of, or even a traditional Japanese diet, to a Western, aka standard American diet, and have shown that the risk of depression is actually 25 to 35% lower in those who tend to eat a traditional Mediterranean or Japanese style diet. And it's thought that there's quite a difference here because those traditional diets tend to be higher in vegetables, fruits, unprocessed grains, fish, seafood, and they tend to have less animal products, refined carbs, sugars that are really staples of our Western diet. So we think about good mood foods as anything that really fights inflammation in our bodies, right? Our brains and body work best when filled with lots of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants that actually nourish the brain and protect it from oxidative stress. So the list we have here are really those foods that are good for our physical bodies and our minds because they tend to thrive off the same thing. So first and foremost, not shocking, but produce, fruits and veggies, different colors are different antioxidants, which help keep your brain and body super healthy and actually help fight that inflammation. Really rich colors are ones you want to highlight here. Dark leafy greens, things like kale, spinach, Swiss chard, Those are really rich in certain nutrients, which are great for our brains. And then specifically berries. I always think about that like purple color you see in blackberries and blueberries. They are really rich in anthocyanins. And those have been shown to actually inhibit neuron cell death. So actually keep your brain cells really healthy. Whole grains, slow carbs, Carolyn kind of went through already, but we want to avoid, you know, excessive amounts of, you know, those fiberless carbs, but actually incorporating a lot of those nutrient dense whole food carbs like potatoes, quinoa, all of those kinds of things. And yes, regular potatoes are great too.
You don't just need a sweet potato. Beans and lentils here too.
Yes. Amazing ones.
Yeah. I think highlighting those are ones that I don't know about you, but like I did not grow up eating, but they are so, so loaded with really good free fiber, prebiotics. They're also have tons of protein in it for what's considered more of a carb. So definitely try to get some of those in.
Totally. And I'm so glad you brought that up, the prebiotic part. That's why these slow carbs are actually really helpful. When we see people go on a really low carb diet like keto, not only is it not great from your cholesterol standpoint, but it's also not great for your brain health and your gut bacteria, because we need those carbs, the healthy kind, the nourishing kind, to actually feed those probiotics, which are those good microbes in your gut. So you get so many of those prebiotics in those slow carb foods. Fats are another thing to think about, right? Our brain is 60% fat. And we really want to make sure that we are getting in enough fats and the right kinds of fats, as these are so important for our brains. What's really interesting is if you look at the research, you see a bigger spike in dementia post the whole 80s, 90s low fat craze. So we now understand just how important fat is for our diets. So unlike the fats found in processed foods, we actually just want to eat more things like monounsaturated fats. So think olive oil, nuts, seeds, avocado, and omega-3 fatty acids. So found in like wild fish or walnuts, chia seeds, those kind of things.
What's my favorite fact? The brain is 60% fat is like probably is always a go-to of mine because it's crazy, but a huge percentage of that is those omega-3s. So omega-3s, especially if you're not a fish eater, you definitely want to get it in those plant-based versions. Marissa just mentioned walnuts, chia seeds, but otherwise definitely do an omega-3 supplement for this as well.
Totally. And there's great research on omega-3 supplementation. In one study, adults with depression were the people being researched, and researchers found that people who were assigned to follow a Mediterranean diet supplemented with omega-3 for 3 months actually had greater reductions in symptoms of depression, stress, and anxiety compared to the control group. So really, really great mental health research here. And as always with supplements, you want to work with someone. Next on this list, I always like to highlight turmeric. You know, we're not big fans of like quote unquote superfoods because there's enough healthy foods on this planet that you can, you know, eat a bunch of things. You don't need to focus on just one food. But if we were to give a superfood to anything, I would give it to turmeric. The active ingredient in turmeric is actually called curcumin, and it's actually found to have a similar chemical structure to Prozac. And in one study, they found that turmeric supplementation improved depression symptoms as much as an antidepressant over just 6 weeks. So really, really helpful. And I know, Carolyn, you're a big fan of cooking with it too.
Huge fan of cooking with it. I mean, it's hard to get the dosing that you would get in a supplement form with cooking, but wherever you can sprinkle it in, make yourself golden milk, throw it in smoothies, sprinkle it on roasted veggies is a really, really great way to use it.
I love it in eggs. I think it's great in eggs with a little bit of black pepper, because that black pepper actually increases the bioavailability of turmeric by up to like, I think the number is like 50,000%. It's like something.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's something crazy, but really important. And so it is one also that I like, again, please work with a practitioner on this. But if someone's either thinking about antidepressants, but doesn't really want to go on them or getting off of them, it can be a really helpful safety net too. But again, please like talk to your doctor or work with a practitioner on dosing for that, because it does need to be in a specific dose. Otherwise, if you're just taking like a small quantity, it's not going to make a difference.
Totally. And it can be one that can affect certain medications, especially if you're on blood thinners or you're going to get a surgery. This is why you work with someone. Do not take these things on your own. Next on this good mood foods list, we have fermented foods. If you follow me on Instagram, you know I am a sauerkraut lover. There's this brand that I'll shout out, Hawthorne Valley. You can buy them at Whole Foods in New York, and I think some other places too. And they also are always at the Union Square Farmers Market, but they make amazing fermented foods. And I literally had with my eggs this morning, they make a fermented carrot, cabbage, ginger mix, which is amazing. And basically the fermentation process actually boosts the amount of probiotics. So you're actually taking in some of those good microbes.
I like to think about chocolate.
Yeah.
Just to not skip over the fermented, because people often want to know like, oh, should I just do a probiotic? I would recommend starting with the fermented foods, trying to do a tablespoon of something like a kraut, Marissa just mentioned, and they taste really good. I've always been pretty skeptical. I'm not a fermented sort of flavor profile person, but they're delicious. So just give it a shot, get like a small amount, or when you're out at a restaurant that offers, you know, a little bit of kimchi or kraut on a salad, give it a shot. You might be surprised. It's pretty just salty, crunchy, but they'll have about 300 times as much probiotics as most probiotic supplements will have. So you'll get the most bang for your buck probiotic wise by actually going for the fermented version instead of going for just a pill. A time and place for a pill as well can be also good for mood, but really big
fan of fermented. Totally. Love that. We wanted to include some fun foods on here. So chocolate also. Cacao is naturally high in magnesium, which is our de-stress chill out mineral. It helps release our feel-good neurotransmitters. Plus, there's actually antioxidants found in chocolate called flavonoids, and they tend to gather in the area of the brain that's deal with memory and learning. So researchers say that these compounds may enhance memory and help slow down age-related mental decline. Now, unfortunately, we're obviously not talking about a Snickers bar here, but instead some good quality dark chocolate. You want to really look for 70% or higher if you are aiming for those antioxidant compounds. And last but not least on our good mood foods list, we have to include water. You know, that's our favorite thing in the world. It's the first thing I look at with a new client who's struggling with virtually anything, because so many of us are just not getting in enough hydration. Dehydration has very similar symptoms to being hangry. So including adequate hydration is huge for your mood.
Mm-hmm. Love it. And then one other thing I was just thinking about, like alcohol replacements too, which can be really, really helpful, especially like if you're at home and you're someone who likes to like pour a glass of wine while you're making dinner. Things like Kin Euphorics that use adaptogens in it can really help chill you out and give you a little bit of a different feeling. Oplos is another one we both love that uses CBD extracts. And so they can give you a little bit of like a different feeling, a different vibe, de-stressing without any of the negative benefits. And in fact, many of them have positive benefits with this. Totally. So look for some swaps there. Boisson is an amazing resource. It's an alcohol-free shop all over New York City and online. Okay. Beyond what you eat. So we covered some bad mood foods, good mood foods. We also want to make sure that you know that how you eat, it really, really matters too. So skip the food stress as much as possible. Eating these bad mood foods sometimes is not the real problem here. It's a diet that's overall devoid of the good mood foods that is causing issues. There is absolutely no perfect diet. There's no one size fits all. We're not looking for you to eat like either of us. We're looking for you to eat like you, maybe just a little bit upgraded. And so I would actually argue that stressing over food is way worse for you than just eating the thing and enjoying it. We all have different taste buds. So lean into the foods you do enjoy. If you're like, ugh, fermented foods, like don't force yourself to eat that. Go for the chocolate. Go for the dark chocolate. And forcing yourself to eat kale is not a good, you know, there's no forcing, no force foods that can always backfire. So just keeping that in mind, our bodies are not calculators. They are chemistry experiments, which means they're not adding up every single little teeny thing you do throughout the day. Instead, it's about what you're doing most of the time and how you're taking care of yourself, how you're speaking to yourself. All of that is going to affect mental health big time as well.
100%. I think that's the most important point of this entire thing. I also want to highlight, there was this New York Times article last year, and it was really popular and being thrown around everywhere. And it was called How Food May Improve Your Mood. And there was actually a quote in it by Dr. Drew Ramsey, who's a nutritional psychiatrist at Columbia here in New York City. And the quote read, so Dr. Ramsey said he does not want people to think that the only factor involved in brain health is food. Lots of people get their food exactly right, live very active lives, and still have significant troubles with their mental health. But he also teaches people that food can be empowering. We can't control our genes, who our parents were, or if random acts of trauma or violence happened to us, he said, but we can control how we eat. And that gives people actionable things they can do to take care of their brain health on a daily basis. I think that is such a powerful thing to remember, because I think sometimes, you know, people will get really frustrated and down on themselves, being like, you know, I'm doing all the quote unquote right things, and I'm still really struggling. And that's okay. You know, we want to use this as a source of empowerment, you know, things to look to, things that you can try to see if they help you feel better. But because you're struggling with your mental health, regardless of all these things, it's not your fault. You know, sometimes we just need more help beyond this.
Yeah. And I'm sure I can think of a couple of people off the top of my head who do struggle with mental health and probably eat the quote unquote cleanest diet of all time. And that it's not always that deep either, but sometimes, but of course we want to do all the things and use all the tools to, you know, create as many benefits as possible. But if you're also surrounded by, what's that saying? If you're surrounded by assholes, you know, before you diagnose yourself with depression, make sure that you're not surrounded by assholes is really important as well. Yeah. You want to make sure that you don't have toxic people around you, or that your work environment is really difficult or toxic or causing a lot of stress. I mean, there's so many other factors with mental health, right? Screen use, we could talk about for days and days. But if we can do these little, create these little habit changes and make sure that you are adding, you know, a sprinkle of turmeric into your coffee in the morning, like where can you piggyback some behaviors that will make you feel really good and continue into the rest of your life.
Totally.
So how do we put some of this into action? Try to up those good mood foods that we just covered that could be adding a slice of tomato or lettuce to your sandwich, choosing whole grain bread over white bread, baguette. Sourdough is another great one with a little bit of fermentation in there. Try a new recipe with turmeric. You don't even have to go off of recipes. Can you just sprinkle some turmeric in somewhere? Use about like an eighth of a teaspoon max, though. Otherwise, it does have quite the turmeric flavor and will stain, you know, anything white that you own this summer.
Yep.
And then try to make sure that you're having veggies twice a day. Like, do a quick food journal if that feels appropriate for you, you know, to really look at what's the habits that are happening on a daily basis. Are there things that are sneaking in that you didn't realize? A handful of candy at the office that might add up over the course of a week or two. And, or alcohol, like, you know, I think especially in the summer, it's like the days get longer, there's a lot more socializing, barbecues, things like that. Is it really adding up for you? And all of a sudden you are having 5-7 drinks in a week, just starting to track that a little bit too, which might seem crazy high for some people, or that might be really on the very low end for people. We see, you know, people across the spectrum with alcohol, but it is one that people feel a whole lot better on when they get mindful of it. And, you know, conscious consumption around that. Also, take a probiotic, you know, really work on a supplement regimen. If you are somebody who doesn't eat all these foods or doesn't like all of these foods, a multivitamin can be really helpful. Omega-3, like we talked about, probiotic. But of course, you know, wanting to customize that, especially if you're using more specifically for mental health, like curcumin, St. John's wort, things like that.
Totally. And if you're struggling with GI stuff, do not just buy a probiotic online and take it, because it could actually cause a lot more harm, especially if you're dealing with something like SIBO, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. If you're just taking a probiotic, it's not going to help you. So please avoid doing that. Work with someone, and we can both definitely help you. Our practices both specialize in a lot of this stuff. So we want you just to focus on what you're adding versus what you're taking away. Really start to pay attention to how food makes you feel, actually choosing those foods you enjoy. I always say consistency is the key to health, and enjoyment's the key to consistency, right? It's not the one salad you eat. It's like, what are you doing on a daily basis? So it doesn't need to be these big, large, overhauling your life changes. Little things that you can build on is the key to success here.
Yeah. James Clear has that great book, The Atomic Habits. Is that how you say
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Yes. One of my favorite things, and I quote it all the time, but having a brain fart over here, but he talks about the 1% rule. And it's something I love to do with clients. Like 1% by 1%, you could really end up making huge impacts over the course of a year, over the course of a couple of months. So we're looking for long-term changes, long-term shifts here, and not just what you're doing for a day, a week, a month of your life. Although those are important too.
Yeah. And he says, if you get 1% better each day for 1 year, you end up 37 times better by the time you're done. You know, 1% is nothing. You could do that on a daily basis, and it could really change where you end up at the end of the day.
I'm going to pull a Marissa Meshulam and drink my 1% more water today. But just those little things that end up like adding the little areas where, like, oh, I could walk, I could get off the subway one step earlier. I can go for a walk around the block in between meetings. I could take this call for a walk kind of thing. I could sit down for a snack instead of just like racing through my day. So just noticing where you can make subtle changes like that, because they end up making big, big impacts. And don't forget, like, progress is not linear too. If you backslide a little bit, or, you know, quote unquote, mess something up, you know, we don't really see things that way. We see like, okay, what can you learn from that? Can you be curious, not judgmental? It's a really, really big thing in making real lifelong changes and shifts, and especially treating yourself with a whole lot more kindness, which will then end up really impacting your mental health in a big positive way as well.
Totally. So hopefully this gave you guys some things to think about when it comes to food and your mood. I always think, you know, the goal of all this is to be empowering. It's to give you information and to start to make changes from there. We don't want this to stress you out. You don't feel like you need to remove everything, but instead just think about what is one thing you can add to your diet that's going to support your gut and support your brain. And at the end of the day, the same kind of healthy meal balance is healthy for every single thing on this planet. It's healthy for your brain. It's healthy for your body. It's healthy for majority of anything you've got going on. So it doesn't need to be so complicated.
I love that. Well, please share this out if there's anyone in your life you think it would help resonate with. And yeah, we're here for you. So thanks for listening in this season, and we'll see you in our next episode.
Bye, guys.